those with Children's Church, you are free to be released now. I was reminded that since Tyler was not up here for our firefighters, there was a house fire out on 194, and I think the house pretty much totaled. And just remember, I'm so thankful for our firefighters, our EMTs, our first responders. Man, we're so blessed. And just remember that. Remember that family also, because that's a disastrous thing to lose a home. Thank you guys for taking care of our kids. Thank you, thank you. Rest of us turn in our scriptures, if you would, back to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, we'll be looking at chapter 2 this morning, and the title of this is Identifying False Teachers. Identifying False Teachers. And so if you remember, last week we finished up and Peter was just making much of the Word of God and how that he was an eyewitness and an account of seeing Jesus' majesty on the Mount of Transfiguration. And we thought about he's an eyewitness to the resurrection. And so Peter said, but more importantly than that is that we have this true testimony. We have the Word of God that we can count on and each and every one of us can have. But he was showing how true people, how it can be truly testified, the Word of God can be preached and taught. Now he's going to show us how that false teachers can slip in among us. And so that's what we'll be dealing with. And so let's look at 2 Peter 2, 2 Peter chapter 2. If you've got your scripture in your hand, I pray that we'll stand, we'll reverence the reading of God's Word. 2 Peter 2, and just three verses there, 1 through 3. And the Word of God says this, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on them swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I pray that you touch our hearts with your word today for your glory. We ask these things in Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. And so listen, on Wednesday nights we have been studying about the fall, and back in Genesis we're going through Genesis, and the fall of man, chapter 3, Genesis of such beauty, the first two chapters of the perfectness of God's creation and a perfect relationship with God, perfect relationship man and wife, perfect relationship with the environment. Everything's perfect to the point on the sixth day God said, it's very good. And then the fall happens, and we know that Satan slithers in, tempts Eve, and the fall happens, and he tempts her with this knowledge, this, you know what he does? He falsifies God's word. He makes her question God's word. And I'm telling you, any time that you add or you subtract to this, you're falsifying it. And we weaken it. And so we saw that through the fall. And I want you to know that today is there's no difference. Same old lies packaged differently. It's packaged differently. Differently. Listen. Same old lie. Satan tries to falsify, he tries to take away, he tries to add. We saw at the end of last week's night study, we went from a garden to a desert to a wilderness. We saw the first Adam, and then we saw the second Adam. He was tempted in the same way. Satan misquotes the Word of God to the Word of God. And how did Jesus overcome him? It is written. It is written. And so Peter, in this valedictorian letter, his final farewell, we know that he knows that death is coming very soon in his life. He's trying, he wants his friends, he wants his church, he wants his church family, and he wants us to know that, listen, when I leave, I want you to be on guard to this. Be on guard to false teachers. And so I want us to think about identifying false teachers this morning. The people he loves, and his final words, his final letter through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to his church, what is it that he wanted them to know? And he's saying, be on guard, identify these false teachers. And the first thing that we, in a way of identifying, is where they reside. Look at verse 1 and what it says. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. Peter's insights are relevant, even though written 2,000 years, they're relevant to us us today. He's saying, be on guard. Know your word. And know the people that preaching you, if they're preaching you the word or not. And he's telling them, listen, it's always been a problem. And he mentions, he says, but there were also false prophets among the people. What's he talking about? He's talking about the children of Israel. And when they came out of Egypt, and he's saying, and the Lord deals with it, it's in Deuteronomy. You want to see how important it is? Look at Deuteronomy 13, how important God took it. And what did he say? God said, if a prophet rises among you, and his prophecies don't come true, look, put him to death. I'm going to tell you, that would fix a lot of problems today, wouldn't it? Huh? Death sentence. You're not preaching the truth? Be a lot of dead people, wouldn't it? And so that's how serious it is to the Lord. But look what it says, where they reside, he makes his statement. It says, among you. That's why I have the sheep and wolves, or the wolf in sheep's clothing, sorry. That picture there. Because Peter begins off and he says, but, and it's this contrast between what he's taught about, the wonderful word and how there's truth and how we can rely on these promises. And he's saying, listen, but you got to understand that all people that get up and say that they preach God's truth is not always going to be preaching God's truth. And so we as God's people and God's family are responsible to know the difference. And he said, they'll be among you. We should think about this, because it's easy to slip in, is what he's saying. It's easy for it to sound good and relate to us and tickle our fancies, if you're Peter, or our ears, is what the Scripture says. And one of the two things we've got to really be on guard about it is first, it's a preoccupation, not trying to find a demon behind every bush or a false teacher and being preoccupied. Lee, if you remember, we would go to chapel. Some great speakers would come in when we were down at Southeastern. And a lot of them guys, these young guys that thought they knew everything, they'd have their Greek Bibles out looking, they're following along, and they'd critique every pastor that come in there to death about how, oh, that wasn't right, this wasn't right. It's a preoccupation. You know what they were missing out on? What God was preaching them through God's Word, for trying to pick it apart. There's nothing wrong with being discerning and know these things, but they were missing the whole point. So a preoccupation is one thing, but also the next is just as bad, maybe worse, is just ignore it. We just trust everybody. We just trust everybody gets up and stands behind a pulpit and opens this word, and we trust them and think, well, we don't have to worry about it. And yet it is your responsibility, each and every one of us, to make sure. How many times have you heard me say that? And I'm going to keep saying that, to make sure that this word is taught to you in truth. And when it doesn't match up to what they're saying to match up this, then that, it should set off a flag, shouldn't it? Ding, 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 ding. I call it my red flag. Ding, 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 ding. Something's not right, and that doesn't mean we should address those things and make sure and hold anybody accountable that stands before you and opens God's Word, that you hold them accountable to what God's Word is saying and what's being taught. Satan always has and always will contaminate God's Word, God's message. And you know what he's doing? The false teachers that he's using are doing the same thing. Why would they do that? It's a confusion thing. We're going to see that as we go through these scriptures. But where they reside, it says, nothing new. There was always false prophets among you, is what it says. And even there are false prophets among us now. And so Jesus even deals with it on the Sermon on the Mount. One of the greatest preacher that's ever preached the greatest sermon in Matthew 7, 15 through 20. And he says this, you will know them. He said, beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. And he said, how are you going to know them? You'll know them by the fruit that they bear. You'll know them by their lifestyle. You'll know them by what they teach you. And by the way, that Sermon on the Mount is really, he's dealing with the religious crowd of that day, the Pharisees. The most religious Jews of that time, the Pharisees, and set apart. And he's trying to tell them, listen, they were false teachers because they contaminated God's Word. Wow. And so he says, you'll know them by their fruit. And Peter is saying, just like the false teachers assaulted Israel, false teachers will be among the church. And Jesus told us in the last days in Matthew 24 that it's going to happen more and more. You'll have to endure false teaching. How do we endure it? How do we know? We know the truth. We know it inside and out. Listen to this. False teachers arise when the church begins to embrace the worldly culture around it. God-centered worship and preaching is replaced by man-centered antics and entertainment. That's when false teachers, listen, when we look like the culture around us, where we're not making a difference in our world, there's no difference, then listen, something has been sacrificed, and that is the teaching of God's Word. When God's Word is taught, you're not going to look like the world. Now, listen, you've heard me say this, and I'm going to say it again. Please understand this. If you want to know where you stand on the issues, well, I don't really know where I stand on that. I've asked people that, I'm like, I can't believe you're even questioning it. What are you talking about? I'm talking abortion. I'm talking same-sex marriage. I'm talking this transgender stuff. I don't know where I stand on that. I feel like it has nothing to do with our feelings. It has everything to do with what does God's Word say? That's it. It's very simple, but yet we want our feelings to supersede those things, don't we? I just feel like, well, that's the words of Satan, isn't it? Did God say, remember poor Eve, this is innocent she can be, did God say that you can't eat of any tree in the garden? No, God said eat freely. You can have them all, just one, don't touch it. First thing he does, puts a question, did he say not to eat of any tree in the garden? Wow, and he's still doing that. He still wants us to question. Well, and he wants our feelings to supersede his promises and his word. It does not. It, regardless of how we feel, it has everything to do with what God says and living by. And that's what Peter's getting at here. Sin and repentance and holiness and false teaching will be replaced by emphasis on what? Self-esteem and felt needs. We don't have any problem meeting needs. Listen, the social gospel is strong today, and it's a good thing. We should help people out. But whenever the church is all you think the church is about is meeting people's needs physically and not even thinking about the spiritual side of it, then that is a false gospel. Do you understand that? It should be together. We meet people's needs because we want to share the gospel. The gospel should be at the center of everything that we do. Every activity that we do should be the gospel at the center of it. Why? It's the only thing that matters. And Peter's saying, look, he makes these statements, who will secretly bring in what? Destructive heresies. That's what the word says. In other words, schemes and deception. It's utter ruin. It's eternal condemnation. Contrary to the gospel. It's a substitute for the truth. False teachers will always, they might not openly oppose the gospel, and some will even claim that they believe it, but they give you a watered-down, inadequate message it cannot save. It cannot. Just want you to feel good. Just feel good about yourself. Listen, the only way that we can ever feel good about ourselves is when we line up with God's Word. And as fallible as we are, I don't know about you, but I slip and fall and sin constantly. But I'm going to tell you, I have a Holy Spirit and God that dwells within me that wears me out constantly. I am so thankful for that. Because if you can live against this Word and you're not convicted, is it there? Is the Holy Spirit there? We can say all day long, I love Jesus. And I believe in His Word, but your life plays it out. Your life will play it out. And so he's saying who, and he makes this statement because it's a really unique statement there in verse 1. He says, who brought that among you who will secretly bring in deceptive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them. And so people say, well, that's telling you that that's saved Christians. No, it's not. That's not what Peter is saying. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about the sufficiency of God and Christ giving His life on a cross for us. The efficacy is what it's called. That it's sufficient to save all men. It is. But all men won't be saved. All men or women won't be saved. They'll reject. If you reject that which is the only way of coming to know God through Jesus Christ, then you reject salvation. So the sufficiency, the efficacy of the cross is always for all people. It's just like our verse today. He wishes that what? None should perish, but all should come into repentance. Now, if God wishes that, God wishes something like we think of wishing, that means it's a done deal. Listen, people will teach you universalism. What does that mean? That everybody's saved. Boy, wait, what? Ain't that a lie from the pen? Everybody's saved that just acknowledges there's a God. And no, the Scripture says there's only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son. And through His shed sacrifice, even the kids, I led the 8-year-olds that you lead to the Lord. I said, and it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, you will be saved. And they can believe that, and yet the highest intellectuals of our day cannot. Who's the smartest? It's a question, isn't it? Something to think about. Who brought that? You know, here's the deal. His death has the potential to save any sinner that puts their trust in Him and repents and believes the gospel. That's the efficacy. But the Lord Jesus died to make salvation possible. And I want you not everyone's going to receive that. And the false teachers will water that down. And you know what they want to do? Here's what they want to water down. And they want us all to join hands and sing Kumbaya while people are going to hell all around us that are denying Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. That should break our hearts. And it says, because they reject the only way to salvation, what does that last statement say? They bring on themselves swift destruction. Wow. So their end is destruction. So that's where they reside. Let's look at their end back, verse 2. And many will follow the destructive ways because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. Their agenda is their own success. What does it say? Many will follow. You know what? You can put on a show and you can make everybody feel good and you can draw a crowd. You can have the biggest church in the whole United States of America, never preaching about sin, never pointing out what the Scripture says, never talking about the gospel and how we got. You can have all the biggest crowd in the world, but what good is that? Because when we think about it, when I heard that many will follow, what does that sound like? Sounds like the broad way, don't it? Jesus talks about the Sermon on the Mount. Broad is the gate. It leads to destruction, and it says what? Many there shall find it. It's these false teachers want to lead many people down the broad gate. And so Peter's saying, be on guard. They just want to be on the bandwagon. They just want to feel good about yourself. Listen, oh, I went to church on Sunday. Cha-ching! That's what most people, they want to ease their conscience. They want to ease their conscience. Listen, let me tell you the best way to ease your conscience. Receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Repent of your sins and receive that atonement that He died on the cross. And believe in your heart God's raised Him from the dead. And I'm going to tell you what it'll do. It cleans you up. Boom! And then it's not about what I do that makes me right. It's what's already been done. Ooh, can I get an amen? It's what's already been done. It says they follow their destructive ways. Why would somebody want to follow somebody that's leading them down a path that leads to destruction? Because man has a longing in his heart to worship. He's born without that. He wants to feel good about himself. He wants to feel good. And so these preachers just want you to feel good. They want you to feel good about yourself. And listen, we can feel good. And we can have joy in the Lord. But I want you to know the only way that we do is through repentance and turning from our sin and turning to Christ. And then there's joy unspeakable and full of glory. You don't want me to sing. I've already sang today. Boy, it was some good. I said, if that don't fire you up, something's wrong. Something's wrong. But he says we need to be on guard here. And the world can see the difference. Even the world knows the difference. When churches go out here and they say that they love Christ and they're following Christ and they don't live, they promote false doctrines, and Satan is a front door, back door attack. First he goes inside. He gets the false teachers to preach a false watered down gospel, and he has all these people following. And then a lot of times what he does, he causes that false teacher to fall, and the outside attack says, look at those Christians. Look at that church. If that's Christianity, I don't want it. You see, that's how Satan does it, and that's what he does in promoting his attacks against Satan inside and outside of the church. When unbelievers associate the conduct of false teachers with the practices of the true church, the name of Jesus is slandered. It's slandered. How do we combat that? How are you living? How are you living out in your community? How are you going to live when you step outside of these doors here in just a few minutes? And the rest of the week, How are you going to live? Because your testimony, either you're testifying to the truth by living out that fruit of God through His Word, or you're living like the rest of the world, hollering, I love Jesus, and I go to church at South Fork Baptist Church. Well, that's something to think about, isn't it? It might be that these pews they aren't filled is because people aren't seeing Jesus in you. Why do they need to come and go to church whenever you're not living any different than they are? That's about as plain as you can put it. That hurts me in the gut. Lord, am I living that life? It is for all of us to wrestle around with. We're to be light in a dark world. Salt and light is what Jesus said. Salt and light. So we see that that's where they reside, and we see their impact. But lastly, let's see their motive, verse 3. It says, by covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Why do they do what they do? It says covetous. They're greedy. And who do they want to exploit? You. Their primary motivation is greed. Show me the money. Show me the money. You don't pay me? Well, I don't do it. That's a mercenary, by the way. If all you do is work for the pay and your level of serving to God to the pay, you're just the same way. You're a merc. You're just a gun for hire is all you are. And he's saying that's their motive. That's their motive is greed. They have this. In fact, verse 14 of that same chapter will say they have a heart trained in covetous practices. They're driven by greed. Bilking people out of their wealth. And how do they do it? Exploit you with deceptive words. Oh, they're great orators. Rhetoric. Ever seen anybody that has great rhetoric can make great speeches but never do a thing? And that's what it's saying. They claim that they serve the people, but really their interest is in their own self. Self-motivation. And that word, listen, this is so neat. That word deceptive. Oh, I got some here. That word deceptive. It's interesting, the English word, it's our English word for plastic. That's where we derive the word plastic from. Listen, we're having guests over, and we're going to break out the good silverware. Right? We're going to break out the good silverware because you're worth that. Plastic. Look like something. Look. Woo! Fireworks. They look like the real thing on the outside, but they're plastic. And that's what he's saying. Deceptive means plastic. That's where we get our word plastic from. Let me ask you this. Are you a plastic Christian? Are you a plastic Christian? Oh, you try to look like it, but what's on the inside will come out. Is that not what Jesus said? In similar ways, they deal with phony doctrines and theologies, and it's not based on biblical truth. But they appear to be genuine, but it's not based upon God's Word. Satan's goal is to deceive as many people as possible, both inside and outside of the church, by means of false teaching. God's goal is to identify and expose such hypocrites. Peter is warning them and us that false teachers are everywhere and have been since the beginning of the time. What are we to do? Be vigilant and discerning. Know your Word and let the Word know you. Mark your Bible and let the Bible mark you. When Satan comes, and he will, I'm not going to teach you. I wish I could, and then I'd be a false teacher, mumble something up and pray a hedge about you, and Satan will never attack you. But the truth is, if I love you, I'm going to tell you the truth. Satan will attack you. Anybody say amen? And he'll beat the pants off of you if you're not ready. And there are all kinds of hardships come into our life. How are we going to handle them? How are we going to do? It is written. I told a couple this week, I get to counsel with marriage, going to get married. Young couple, I like them young ones because you come in and talk to them, and I asked, how you doing? I'll just be right up front. How you doing? I won't just talk about deer hunting, okay? Whatever, turkey. She said I'd spent 3 minutes counseling them, and then the rest of the time I was talking turkey hunting with Scott. But I asked, I said, how you doing? And you know, that's a good question to ask people when you've got them, when they're not plastic. And they'll tell you, you know what she said? She said, I've had a lady left, a part-time worker at work that's left. She works with helping older people in a home. And she said, I had them left, and then this other full-time guy, he left also. And she said, it's all fell on me, because I said, why did it all fall on you? She said, well, I'm bottom of the totem pole, and it's just going downhill, pours downhill on you right when it's like that. And I said, well, how are you handling that? And I said, she said, I've got anxiety, and she said, I'm planning for a wedding. They're buying a house, too. And I'm like, dear Lord, it's like, can you think of something else you can add to it to bring stress to you? Because you know how women are for their wedding. They want everything. And I try to tell them, I said, don't worry about some of these things. It's me, it's you, and him, and God. I said, really, I'm not, I'll just lead you, but it's you and him and God. Don't worry about everything else and how the traditions and how everything's going to fall into place. And I said, but about work, I said, how are you going to deal with work, how are you going to deal with that anxiety? Because everybody knows that's a real thing. And somebody makes fun of that. Somebody being anxious has never been anxious or dealt with it, I don't guess. And I said, go to Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing. I said, this is Paul writing out of a prison. Be anxious for nothing, but what? Through prayer with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. I said, then get ready for the next one. It's the best. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I said, you take you out a little note card, and you write that verse out. And in the morning when you're getting ready, because ladies will get ready to go to work. You know, most of the time they'll be in the bathroom cleaning up, getting everything good. Put that on your mirror. And when you feel that anxiousness, quote that verse. Why? It is written. It is written. That's how we overcome anxieties. We replace it with God's Word. This life can bring you full of anxiousness. It can make you anxious. Listen, Jesus gave us the abundant life in John 10. So what? That we could have more abundantly. We could have abundant life through Him. I want you to see what that's how we're to be vigilant. But look at their destiny. It's clear. Just like back up in verse 1, it says, for a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. It brings on. Their condemnation hangs over them. You know what they need? They need Jesus. They need the same salvation that they're denying. Peter's saying, be on guard, folks. As the last days, as we get closer to the last days, there'll be more and more false teaching. It is your responsibility to know God's Word. To know God's Word. That's how we overcome it. That's how we know if somebody is teaching us wrong. That's how we know how to make our decisions and where we fall on all these issues. What does God's Word say? Linda, come and play, and we'll do our applications. Number one, how do you know if someone is teaching you the truth? How do you know that I taught you the truth about teaching the truth this morning? Come on, that's one of them around. How do you even know that I'm teaching you the truth? God's Word. I am held to the same standard that I'm preaching about holding somebody else to. God's Word. Number two, does your life line up with what you say you believe? Just because I'm your pastor don't mean that I'm better than you are. I am held by the same standard. Now, one day I'll stand before Christ and give an account for what I have taught you guys. I don't take that lightly. But I'll also stand before Christ, God the Father, exonerated only because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. Not because I'm your pastor. Not because it's the same standard for the pulpit and the pew. How are you living? I guarantee you this, you wouldn't want me out here living it up as your pastor now, would you? Huh? Would you? I hope not. In fact, you can send me right on out those doors right there. Guess what? I expect the same thing out of you as being my family, as being part of South Fork Baptist Church. when we go outside these doors, live what it is that you say that you believe. Number three, how do you make your decisions? How do you make your decisions, folks? Has it got to do with your banking account? Has it got to do with how you feel? Or do you go to God and you ask Him to help you and direct you in your decision making? Because when we make decisions based on His Word and how He is allowing us and leading us through His Word, that is the abundant life. If it has to do with my feelings, well, I might be upset because I lost the ball game last night. Or one of my team lost the ball game. And I might make the wrong decision because of that. How stupid. We make our decisions based upon the Word of God. Let's stand to our feet. Greatest decision a person can ever make. Bow your heads before the Lord just for a few minutes. Do this. Speak, talk to God. It's just you and God right now. Nobody else, even in this room. Listen to my voice. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you know that if God required your life right now, that you would stand before God forgiven because of accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior? And I'm not talking about just with our mouth. I'm talking about with our life, that my life has been changed because of a relationship with Christ. Do you know that you know that Christ is in your life? If not, well, what a great day just to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. He said, all those that come unto me, I will no wise cast out. But it's that point, just like the false teachers, we can believe the lie. We can even be teaching ourselves, telling ourselves, oh, I'm all right because of this, this, and this. There's only one thing that makes us right, and that's Jesus Christ. And His crucifixion, His death, His burial, His resurrection, and us putting our trust in that, the gospel of Christ. What's He saying to you? Are you loaded up? Are you anxious about something? That you realize, you know what? I just need to put more trust in God's Word, know it more, apply it to my life. What is it that He's saying to you? I'm going to take a few minutes. I'm not going to beg. Whatever God's saying, be obedient. In Jesus' name. Just as I am. Wow. Blood was shed for me. Wow. Thou biddest, come to me. O Lamb of God. Amen. Look at here. I love you. Anyway, you don't have to walk an aisle to be saved. That's going through. I don't want to make going through a routine. It's what saved you. It's coming to a knowledge that I'm a sinner and I've never received Christ. And acknowledging that before God and asking Him to forgive you and repent of your sins and calling upon the name of the Lord. And you will be saved. Scripture says that. But I want you to know something. If you do that and you do that in your pew, you're going to let somebody know that. It's not going to be something you do in private between just you and God. No, it's the whole world is to know. Why? Because that's how we proclaim Christ. And what He does. And so, if anybody's ever got saved and you've never proclaimed it, you need to proclaim it. You need to let people know. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to have a baptismal service here on Easter Sunday morning. And if you've never been baptized, it's a great opportunity to be baptized. That public testimony of what God's done in your life. Great things that are going on. Come back tonight, 6 o'clock. We'll have in your food and fellowship. We'll have the youth. We'll have the Kingdom Kids. And what a great evening that we can have. Lee closes in prayer.